Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Tronny Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Ocean Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBM Bummerbib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the country thanks to NIRS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Have your saying, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. All right, now Street Socceroos set sights for the Homeless World Cup. The team just come back from the World Cup. And the Street Socceroos, a team that put together by Social Enterprise, and the big issue of representing Australia in the Homeless World Cup, and that was from 23rd to 30th of August. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with the big issue national coach, and that's George Halkias. Got George online. George, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Trevor. Nice to talk to you, and I'm greeting you from the land of the Wurundjeri people here in Melbourne.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you very much, and thank you for coming to the program. Look, a fantastic platform in regarding, Street Socceroos, helping young ones on the street and helping them in all facets of life, and we're talking about a vision for their future, using soccer as a tool. So, look, enlighten us, please. You just come back from the Homeless World Cup. How did that go down? And talking about First Nation players on board as well, please, George.
Yeah, we were in Norway, only got back a week or so ago, and we took eight players to the Homeless World Cup there, and which two of the eight were from Indigenous First Nations backgrounds. And, we had a fantastic trip where we got to represent our country and meet people from all over the world, but
yes,
also get ourselves out of our comfort zone and learn a lot about life and the skills that we need to have resilience and be determined and overcome any challenges in life. So,
Yeah,
it was a successful trip, both on the pitch and off the pitch, and our players have come back and set their sights on some new goals now.
Fantastic. So we're talking about Street Socceroos. How long has this been running for? How did it start? And who can get involved?
Yeah, it's a good question. So behind the Homeless World Cup team each year, there's a national program run by the Big Issue. It's called the Big Issue Community Street Soccer Program. It's funded by the federal government's Department of Health, and basically across 30-odd sites around Australia, people experiencing homelessness and disadvantage and different challenges in their lives can attend for weekly sessions where they receive the physical activity, the mentoring, the health promotion and connection to services. So there's these programs all across the country which happen on a weekly basis, and participants, male and female, all genders can come and participate. And that's been running as a national program since 2007. So each year I get the tough task of having to pick eight players, and they represent Australia each year at this special event called the Homeless World Cup. And in terms of First Nations players, across the country we're sort of increasing our numbers. We have a specific program in Alice Springs, which works with young people at the Gap Youth Centre there. So that's a specific Indigenous youth program. But we, all across the country, we invite people from all backgrounds to come. I know in Brisbane, Townsville and Perth and a few of the others, we've got good participation and engagement from some of the agencies that support First Nations people as well. So it's great to have that representation in the programs and, of course, in our national team as well. So they bring a lot to our program and they share a lot of their culture. And that's what happened in Norway with two of the boys. And it was special for them and it was special for the rest of us who got to learn more about First Nations culture and represent our country.
And using soccer as a tool, George.
It is. Yeah. Sport, so irrespective of your physical capacity or your experience in the sport, we invite people to come down and have a kick. And so there are some people that have been playing it all their lives and there's others who are new to the sport. And, we try to create a fun, safe environment, first of all, and then, offer some opportunities for them to learn and get information on how to improve their health and well-being. Beautiful. And as I said, those eight lucky ones get to wear the green and gold with me every year, which is pretty awesome too.
Beautiful. George, how, are we talking girls and boys, and what ages are we talking?
Yep. So our program in Alice Springs is essentially 12 to 14, so much younger crew. Mm. But across the country, it is 16 and up of all genders. And, yeah, it's a very diverse crew. People with, you know, tackling mental health issues, substance abuse issues, and homelessness. There are those sometimes who have a connection to the criminal justice system and are leaving prison, and that's a positive thing for them to do.
Yes.
So we don't need to know, you know, people's backgrounds or ask them. It's a very low bar. We just invite them. We don't judge them, and they can come and participate. At times, they tell us their story and seek support. But for anyone who's looking for a bit of a, you know, hand up and support and encouragement in a positive environment, I like to think that, yeah, we're a special place for them.
And what happens when they come back? They're still in a program, or do they sign up with soccer clubs make it a sport? Or
Our programs, as I said, week in, year long. So that's their community, that's their family, that's their friends. And some of them are already working and studying or moving on to different things, but they can be part of our program for as long as they want. And I know players who've consistently been in programs for over a decade, and there's some who sort of drift in and out and go do work and come back if they need extra support. But with the players that we've just gone to Norway with, we've helped them set some new goals, and a lot of them are already on a positive trajectory, and they're doing some work and some study and working to make those changes in their lives. So even though they've had a great time and ticked off, you know, a huge achievement, they're looking at some new goals now, which is really important for them to use that momentum and use that experience to tackle anything else that comes to them in life as well.
It sounds like a successful program as such, you know, and like you said, using soccer as a tool. It just helps them look up in regard to vision for the future and what have you. And the success principle in regard to soccer is the same success principle in business and life itself, isn't it?
Of course. When you find something that you're passionate about or that engages you and creates a positive environment around you, I think people become a product of that environment.
And,
the people around their program are usually uplifting. They're all trying to make positive changes. We've got some really strong coaches who are mentors, and, you know, they motivate and inspire, but and they're good people to be around. So, whether it's sport or, like you said, business or any other setting, if you can find good people around you, it sort of takes you a long way. And you can get help as well, because sometimes we try and address things by ourselves and individually, but there's a lot of help out there, and teamwork's the way to go. And sport's a perfect example of that on the pitch, but we need to encourage the teamwork off the pitch as well.
Exactly. George, how long have you been involved?
Just over 20 years, 21 years.
Well, hats off to you, my friend.
A bit gray in the beard, but it's been pretty rewarding and satisfying for me to be involved. And,
You're kicking goals is what I'm saying, mate. You're kicking goals, so congratulations, mate.
Thanks kindly.
Listen, all the best to you. Thank you very much. And, look, hopefully love to catch up and have a yarn with the two First Nation soccer players there.
Yeah, we'd be happy to connect you, and they've got great stories to tell.
Beautiful. All the best, George. You take care, and we'll talk soon, my friend.
Great stuff. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. A beautiful yarn there. That's George Hakios is his name. Big Issue National Coach. And the Street Socceroos, a soccer team put together by Social Enterprise, the Big Issue, and represented Australia in the Homeless World Cup from 23rd to the 30th of August. And a part of that team was two young Indigenous brothers coming off the streets and using soccer as a tool, and now have a vision for their future. Not necessarily soccer, but a vision for life itself. So a successful program. Money well invested. When we talk about taxpayers' money, as long as it's doing good, money is a tool and it's doing good there. So, and soccer is a tool. So, big shout out to George and the team at Big Issue National Coach to Delhi. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong. 1 hour program, National Talk Black, live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yindinji Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. And your host, the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong.
summertime to find it. When we know it's our turn, we can search through books, but inside we'll look to our father's heart and soul. So we can pass that to our children, for them to take a role. And then the land in which we live will look better than it did. For our mother's tribal songs, they'll ring on. And then our forefathers, they'll sleep while their spirits rest in peace, knowing that their life and culture has survived. Has no path, and tomorrow's world, it all depends on now. The decisions that we make and the actions that we take, they will influence our kids to show them how to make the world in which they live look better than it did. For their mother's tribal songs,
can't stop me now. You can bring me down. Bring it down. I'm on cloud can bring me down.
You can't bring me down.
I'm on cloud nine.
I'm on cloud nine.
I'm not coming down.
I'm not coming
can't
down.
Can't stop me now.
Can't stop.
You can bring me down.
Can't bring me
I'm
down.
I'm on cloud nine.
I'm on cloud nine.
I'm not coming down.
I'm not coming down. You can bring me down. I'm not coming down. Can't stop me.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Driving up the dusty red highway, I got this freedom flowing wind in my hair. Soaking up the wild desert country, all my worries are gone, I don't care.
Hey mom, I can just taste your fish soup and rice. I'm coming back home to you. Out at the place of the city life. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
Yeah.
Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
And you're still kicking on, everything's burning. We deserve someone who's a little bit better than it. Ain't no one but this nice and settled. You ain't fit to push the whip, you're back pedaling. You ain't fit to wear the kicks that I'm threatening. I'm real nice, like, and it's not like I miss this nightlife. So good, yes, alright. If we can't start a house party, start a house fight.
Come, little baby, shelter from the storm. Self-interred, watching videos of Jacinda Ardern. Shit, even the Kiwis aren't allowed outside.
If you can't start a house party, start a house fire. Briggs 4 p.m. Chuck Peter Dutton if you see him. Deport this, off how you feeling. Pandemic's got them reeling, people need to see you leading. Off footies on, do it after the weekend. If worst comes to worst, the people come first.
Yeah, but I'm gonna need a purse for the Megatron.
You ain't fit, we don't get near a penny worth. You ain't fit. The leadership is getting plenty worse. Went to hit the store and everything had been bored. They quarantined us all, so we're sitting indoors. And if they're getting on board, I'm pulling this ripcord and ditching this Concord and splitting like John Ford. I'm real nice, like, and it's not like I miss this nightlife.
We're all good.
Yes, alright. If we can't start a house party, start a house fire.
But you're cool.
Yeah, you're alright.
God, I'm kinda sick and tired of being inside.
We're all good.
Yeah, we're all smiles. If we can't start a house party, start a house fire.
Come, little baby, shelter from the storm. We're coughing up lungs and the kettle's on. We already burned the world outside.
If we can't start a house party, start a house fire. Start a house party, start a house fire.
Scotty from marketing, standing there shuffling his papers, wondering why Jesus hasn't come to save us. Looking to be the dotted light, what the fuck's happening?
At least the Ruby Princess had a f***ing captain.
Come there, baby, shelter from the storm. Stay the f***ing side until the bugger's gone. But we can still stir shit from the inside.
If you can't start a house party, start a house fire.
Hey, what you doing, your mob? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your say in Jan Upstrong, National Talk Black. Oh, Dreaming Big, a powerful six-part documentary series spotlighting the journeys of First Nations youth in sport, which premiered on NITV and NBS demands last Friday, September 5. And look, with that, I'm going to catch up with one of the sports person, and we're talking Carle Warner, motor car racer. How deadly is she? You've got Carle on the line. Carle, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Sister, before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from.
So my mob is Waka Waka Kabi Kabi, so that's Sunshine Coast in Cherbourg.
All right, beautiful, beautiful country. Big shout out to your mob. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Now, speed, not my cup of tea, but it is your cup of tea. So you're a motorsport car racer.
Yes, I definitely am. I've been racing for 3 years now, and I'm loving every minute of it.
All right. So how did this come about?
So back in 2020, there was an open day for an Indigenous and Torres Strait Islander racing team.
Yeah.
I tried out with my sister. It was 14 and 15-year-old girls, and we wanted to drive a car. It was the first time ever driving a car. That same weekend,
so you didn't have your license at that time, did you?
No, I was okay. 14 years old.
Continue, yep.
Didn't have a clue about cars.
Okay.
I never watched anything in motorsport at all. That same weekend I tried out for Racing Together. I was selected as one of the members for the Racing Together team.
Yes.
And I was also selected as the female driver.
Wow, fantastic. So, and then you joined Lord to become a racing car driver. So tell us the format. How does this work? Do you have to turn up at the race course with a car, or do you have a team of people, and it'd be expensive sport? So tell us the platform and how it came about.
So Racing Together first started back in 2020.
Okay.
We used to have a team of 10. Now we're down to 17 members. So each member has their own specific role within the team.
Mm.
I was first selected as the tyre technician. So that's what I first started learning before I started actually racing.
Okay.
The team built a few Hyundai XLs to start racing. We have two drivers now. We have a bunch of mechanics. We have a social media person.
Mm.
We have someone doing data and logistics. Everyone in the team.
It's a team of people, isn't it?
Some sort of job. Yeah, definitely. Motorsport is, of course, very, very expensive.
Mm.
And it is hard to run a team. We are lucky enough to have a bunch of our sponsors on board that help pay for, you know, all of our racing, as well as Gary Connolly.
Mm-hmm.
He is the founder of Racing Together. He helps out. A
big
lot
shout
as well.
Out, Gary Connolly. Sounds like a very important man and part of the cog,
definitely.
You could say. Yep, fantastic.
Yeah.
And when did you actually start to race then?
So I started racing, I was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
It was like
a year
August
later.
2022 at Morgan Park Raceway out in Warwick.
Fantastic. So this is a everyday thing for you now? This is just a part of your journey? Are you, is it a paid position as such, or a hobby thing on the side on the weekend while working, or how does it work?
Yeah, so it's more of a hobby.
Yep.
I also do work for the team as well, doing the admin and logistics side of it. So that's a bonus for that.
Yes.
Every day I do also work at Norwell Motorplex, which is a racetrack or training facility.
Yep.
So this is, Norwell is where I first learned to drive a manual car. I got all of my driver training from Norwell, Paul, all of the instructors there. So yeah, I'm working here almost every day.
Good.
As a casual employee. But yeah,
you could say a grease monkey as well, a grease monkey. So what's your family think of you racing? Do they come and support you? And how often do you race, Carly?
So yeah, I, over the last 2 years, I definitely have raced a lot more than I have this year. My family think it's the most amazing thing ever, and they always love to come and support me.
Yes.
Every time I'm racing at Queensland Raceway, because it's only just down the road from all of them, they all come out for at least a day and watch me.
Yes.
But yeah, you know, my family isn't a racer. They aren't involved in motorsport in any sort of way. You know, they do watch the occasional Formula One and supercars, but none of them are actually involved in racing at all.
Well, you're so my first Indigenous racer I've interviewed. And a female at that, girls can do anything. What's your vision, Carly?
My vision?
What do you want to do?
So in the future, you know, motorsport is definitely a hard sport to get into. You really have to have talent in it.
Yep.
But I would love to get to GT3, GT4 racing around Australia, as well as going overseas and racing anywhere overseas as possible, as much as possible as I can.
Good on you.
But yeah, basically, I would also love to get into supercars, of course.
Supercars,
it will be tough and it will be hard. But as long as I put in all the training I can and improve every single time I'm racing, then it will become possible one day.
So when I think of racing car, I think of, like, for example, in Australia, Bathurst. Would that be a possibility? Do women race on Bathurst?
Yeah, there has definitely been a lot of women that have raced at Bathurst. There's been a few that have gone to Bathurst 6 Hour that I'm friends with, and I always make sure I'm keeping an eye on what they're doing as well.
Is that a possibility? Is that a vision? Bathurst. Is that a vision?
Definitely.
Oh, good, good girl.
It definitely is a vision for me to go to Bathurst.
All right, fantastic. Well, congratulations. And look, people can catch the story, your story, on NITV or SBS On Demand. It did feature the premiere last Friday. Dreaming Big is the name of the powerful 6-part documentary that you're on there, Carly. So, look, congratulations. Yeah. And living the dream. When you're doing something you love and you're passionate about, that's the best job in the world for anybody. So you're doing just that. Thank you for your yarn. Hey, top speed. Keep doing what you're doing, sister.
Thank you.
Take care, Carly.
All right. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
A beautiful yarn there. Carly Warner, her name is. Motorsport car racer. Indigenous female. Girls can do anything. Too deadly, sister. And she's on that, premiered on NITV and SBS. The name of the program is called Dreaming Big. So do check it out. A powerful 6-part documentary series spotlighting the journeys of First Nations youth in sport. And she's a young girl in the sport of car racing, motorsport. Too deadly. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black. Deadly number here, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the ball. You on Trevor Tim, Trinity Trevor Murray from the Curry, live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidindji Country, BBM Bummer Bip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarnup Song, National Talk Black.
I was born when I was lost, broken mind and broken soul.
pray for rain to wash my sins. Angels long gone searching cuts my skin. I tasted love, I tasted pain. Testimony,
I've got truth.
Yes, I do. Now it's time to heal, I'm overdue.
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. Now, court strikes out New South Wales Water Resource Plan and makes historic orders protecting cultural knowledge. The federal court has ruled the New South Wales Fractured Rock Water Resource Plan, that's WRP, is invalid because Federal Water Minister Tanya Plibersek didn't read it before she signed off on it. Now, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with the chair of Muldrin, which is the Murray Lower Darling River Indigenous Nations, and that's Brendan Kennedy. Got Brendan on the line. Brendan, good morning, brother. How are you?
Oh, good. Thanks, brother. Thank you for the conversation.
No, thank you for coming on board, brother. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob, where you from, bro?
Decolonising. Irish name is Brendan Kennedy, but Millerwoodley. I live again down here at Robinvale. Taddy Taddy, Latchy Latchy, Waddy Waddy, Weka Weka, Mucky Mucky, Yiki, and Nari Nari. So I'm currently the chair of Mildred.
Yep. All right, big shout out to your mob and all the neighbouring tribal mob down that way. Fantastic. Thank you very much. So, court strikes out New South Wales Water Resource Plan and makes historic orders protecting cultural knowledge. By the sounds of it, they didn't have First Nation people at the table from the get go, Brendan.
No, they did an end run around First Nation people in terms of the engagement. So, as part of the Murray Darling Basin Plan, they have to have regard to First Nations uses and values in
yes.
water, and they had to engage with the relevant Indigenous organisations. So they failed to do that
yep.
for four nations within the southern part of the Murray Darling Basin. So my two of my groups, Taddy Taddy and Weki Weki, but also Barkindji and Gamilaroi. So they did engage with a number of other groups, but they have to have regard to all the uses and values of all the nation groups.
Yeah. So fantastic. So if this has been striked out as such, of course strikes it out, this could be the template for other rivers in the area, if not across this nation, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. It means that they have to engage with traditional owners. They have to have regard for, they have to understand our uses and values. And they can't just, Mickey Mouse, just write up a plan, say, and doctor up their engagements and then push that through to the federal level and just get it signed off just willy-nilly. Those days are gone.
Sure, exactly.
So it highlights now and brings the process, the Commonwealth and state obligations that
yes.
they have.
Yes.
They must meet those obligations and it has to be lawful in
exactly.
their own laws. So we've found them out breaking their own laws.
Yeah. And look, the rules apply, you know what I mean? Same rules apply. If it's a white man law, what have you, well, black man law can fit in that law as well, outside LORE, and we could win. And you've got to win there, brother, so you've got to be excited about that. And the board of directors and the people, traditional owners, have got to be excited.
Yeah, absolutely. It does set. It is a bit of a reset. It's a real, It means that they have to make sure that they include all the nations, the relevant
yep.
First Nations groups. But the other thing too, our intellectual property is, cultural intellectual property is protected.
Yes.
It has to be treated the same way that companies use IP within companies or within business or within government. They have to treat our knowledge as equally as important and relevant.
Well, exactly.
It has to be used in accordance with data sovereignty and Indigenous cultural intellectual property.
And we're talking about having First Nation people at the table from the get-go. I mean, that's the first thing that should happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, those groups, there were a number of groups who provided, no, they were engaged, so hence there were nation reports.
Mm.
But the Commonwealth went and used all those, there was 20 nation reports, they used their nation reports as defence in the federal court.
Yeah.
When we were calling them out that, hello, there's four big nation groups over here that you've left out completely.
Exactly, yep.
But you're in breach. Plus, the minister didn't actually read the plan before she signed it.
Yeah.
But in their, for their defence, they then used the engagement reports, which the nation did not give pre-prior informed consent for their cultural knowledge to be used in a federal court.
Yeah, so it's a win for Mildren, and which is fantastic. So would you look at operating now with the court strikeout with the other rivers, Brendan?
Absolutely. Yeah, it can be. I mean, all the other nation groups who have responsibility for rivers right across this nation now,
yep.
They can now point to this decision in their own jurisdictions, whether exactly. it's Western Australia, Northern Territory, Victoria, Tasmania. It is now in law. It's court ruling, so it's on the record that the federal court judge has made these pretty strong statements in regards to First Nations that we are operating as nations. We're not just a small group of people over here who are to be seen as relevant or Indigenous.
Mm. Mm. Yes,
we are operating as nations, and the federal court judge.
Acknowledges that, exactly. Acknowledges in the decision making. Look, fantastic. Congratulations. A very good yarn. I salute you, my brother. Big shout out to all the First Nation people down there, traditional owners. And congratulations to Mildren, Murray, Lowa, Darling River Indigenous Nations and the work that you guys are doing. Fight the good fight. That's what it's all about, isn't it, Brendan?
Yeah, no, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to share this information to everyone. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Big shout out to all the mob there. You take care. Keep smiling, brother. Stay strong, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Thank you.
Thanks, bye. Bro. A deadly yarn there. That's Brendan Kennedy, chairperson of Mildren, which is Murray, Lower, Darling River, Indigenous Nations, and court strikes out New South Wales Water Resource Plan and makes historic orders protecting cultural knowledge. So the federal court ruled that New South Wales Fractured Rock Water Resource Plan, WRP, is invalid because Federal Water Minister Tanya Plibersek didn't read it before she signed it. And there it is. Oil always rises to the top. Pardon the plunt. Your daily program, National Talk Black. Yarn up strong here. Deadly number 1-800-422-416. Thank you for your company, your mob. And a big shout out to all First Nation radio stations across the beautiful country of ours. NERS, thank you very much. National News Radio Service, put across the airways. National Talk Black. Yarn up strong here. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.
Northern Peninsula area.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go, go, go. It's the Bama Kids. Go, go. I live a gay life, I live it wild and free. And all you folks who live in town ain't got a thing on me. No, I never have much money, but that don't mean a thing. Cause in my shack that's made of bark, I live just like a king. No, I don't want your money, you can take it all away. With my spear and boomerang, I get 3 mil today. Yes, I live on San Guana, porcupines and kangaroo. Now you heard it said I make my bread with the stone I grind, I do. Now all you folks who live in town, you are always sad. Each day you work around the clock until it drives you mad. To work your soil, you sweat and toil long after day is done. You get the money itch by the time you're rich, you're too old to have much fun. No, I don't want your money, you can take it all away. With my spear and boomerang, I get 3 mil today. Yes, I live on San Guana, porcupines and kangaroo. Now you heard it said I make my bread with a stone I grind, I do. Now I recall the saddening day when my grandfather died. And just before he passed away, well, he called us to his side. To my brother Jack, he left his shack and all his cooking gear. I'm proud of Skippy, for he left me the boomerang and the spear. Well, I've a little saying, yes, it's funny, but it's true. The rich man or the beggar man, well, it makes no difference who. Some people will think they're better off, but they don't realize that when we're dead, 6 foot of earth make us all the one size. Too true. No, I don't want your money, you can take it all away. With my spear and boomerang, I get 3 meals a day. Yes, I live on San Gawena, porcupines and kangaroo. Now you heard it said, I make my bread from the stone I grind. Now, God bless you, Jackie, Jackie.
Hey, which way you mob? We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor. Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416. Yendaba napi bamada. Yendaba kachana bamada. Yendaba gadan. Yendaba listen.